lesson from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, which the Apostle Paul there said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth, where Christ sits at the right hand of God." A great lesson that was directed primarily to those of us who are God's people, Christians. This morning our lesson is going to come from one of the parables of Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus was talking to individuals who've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. He's talking to people of the world who need to seek that pearl of great price. Several parables are given in Matthew chapter 13, but I like this one because it just says what our responsibility is while here on earth. This individual was seeking for a pearl of great price. He was a merchantman. He was a collector who was looking for the pearl of great price. I know that in all endeavors in life, we're always looking for something a little bit better than we have. I know when I was farming years ago as a dairy farmer, I was always looking for the best animal that I could find never find, you know, really the perfect one, but the closest to perfection you could find. But here Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchantman seeking a goodly pearl." The best pearl that's available, the best pearl that he could find. Paul talked about, and what Jesus is saying here, we need to teach people today to look at the church, the kingdom of God, as the pearl of great price, the ultimate in what we ought to be striving to accomplish in life. Paul referred to this pearl of great price in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. He said, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." The Apostle Paul looked upon the church as a treasure, something very precious and valuable. And you know, those things which are precious and valuable, we want them, we want to acquire them, but we also need to protect them and promote them as well. It's very disturbing to me that so many people in the world are seeking the things of the world. I had a preacher friend who years ago made this statement. He said, "You know, in life we don't need much and we don't need that long." There are many individuals who are seeking things of this world, and even coldly, if we're able to accomplish them, we don't have long to enjoy them. I think one of the greatest examples of this is found in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 2, and beginning in verse 3. Solomon, the wise man there, said he wanted to find out what was really good for the sons of men. And so Solomon said he began to explore, and he had all types of entertainment. He had all types of pools and gardens, property. He had everything. Why? Because he had so much wealth. Someone said in the days of King Solomon that silver in the city of Jerusalem was like limestone rocks in Wilson and Rutherford County. He had so much gold. Solomon had the wealth to obtain all these things, but when he came to near the end of his life, and he looked back on all of his accomplishments, he said it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. And so Solomon was seeking things that he thought would make him happy, he thought would bring him pleasure, but they did not. They were reaching after the wind. And so when he concludes the book, he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man." This seeker was a merchantman, and he was looking for the pearl of great price. The scriptures is filled with passages that talk about the importance of seeking. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you." Matthew chapter 19, verse 10, our Lord said, it stated of him as the fact that he came to seek and save those that were lost. That was the real purpose for which Jesus came, to seek and to save. And then Andy's verse from text and lesson from last week, Colossians 3:1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." To seek may mean that we have to leave one place or one state and go to another. You don't always find everything that you're looking for right where you are, and so you may have to do a little bit of searching and a little bit of seeking. All who seek the truth can find the truth, and if they are really sincere in their seeking, I believe that God will provide someone to teach them what they need to do. Seeking might mean that you have to leave one place and go to another, as I said a moment ago, as in the case of Joseph. You remember in the book of Genesis, when we read the story about Joseph there in chapter 37, he had been sent to carry food or supplies to his brethren who were taking care of the flocks. And when he found himself kind of in a lost position, he was asked the question, who are you seeking for? And he told he was looking for his brothers. And not only that, but we have in 1 Samuel, when Saul was anointed king, 1 Samuel chapter 9, Saul was surprised by the prophet Samuel coming to him when he was actually out there on the mission of looking for his father's donkeys. And there he's anointed the first king of Israel. And so seeking may mean that we have to leave one place and go to another. All who seek it will find it. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness," again in Matthew 5, 6, "for they shall be filled." Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." So those who seek, they are certainly going to find. Another important point about this lesson this morning, I think we need to know what we're looking for. Do you know what a goodly pearl is? I have no idea about a pearl. I wouldn't know a thing about a pearl or a diamond or anything. You could sell me a piece of glass and make me think it was a diamond. But you have to know what you're looking for. This man was a merchantman. He dealt in pearls every day. He knew what he was looking for. Why do I bring up that point that we need to know what we're looking for? Because the scripture tells us that there are many false teachers in the world. Jesus said, "Beware of those who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." These are the false teachers of the world today. The proverb writer said in chapter 14, verse 12, "There's a way which seems right to man, and the end thereof are the ways of death." 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, Peter said there were false prophets of old, and there are going to be false prophets in our time as well. The writer, prophet Jeremiah, said, "It's not in man that walks to direct his steps," Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. As this merchantman was seeking, he found himself not satisfied with the pearls that he had found thus far. He was looking for that one of great price. Pearl was a valuable commodity in that day, kind of like a diamond today, and there are some interesting facts about it. There were many pearls, but this man was looking for the very best one. He finds this pearl. When he finds this treasure found, he found the pearl of great price. Sometimes we don't always recognize the pearl of great price when we find it. Again, it bothers me that there are so many people who are not seeking those things which are really important in life. It's a sad occasion. Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate," he said, "because broad is the gate and wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But," he said, "straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few that be that find it." I remember a sermon Brother Marlon Conley preached years ago. I'm thankful that I have the memory to remember some of these things, Andy. Marlon's sermon that Sunday morning happened to be, he said, people's lives and their choices are kind of like a department store. He said, suppose someone went in the department store and marked a $100 item down to $10 and put a $10 item at $100. He said, that's what we do as people sometimes. We get our priorities, our prices all mixed up. That which ought to be important to us, to so many, becomes less important. And two or three examples of that in the Word of God. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is told Jesus is in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, friends of his. And they're preparing a meal for him, and Martha comes to the Lord and says, "Bid my sister to come help me." Well, that's natural, isn't it? You know, if we're going to have company, what do you want to do? You want to clean up the house? You want to make sure you have your meal prepared? You want to be the best host and hostess you possibly can be? Well, Martha was the same way. She said, tell Mary to come and help me. And Jesus said, Martha, you're troubled about many things, but Mary's chosen that good part which cannot be taken away from her. She was more interested in listening to the teaching of Jesus than she was about serving him a meal. And so she had her priorities right. Some more examples of that in the scriptures. In Acts chapter 8, we have an individual who had traveled a long, long way from where he was serving his country to the city of Jerusalem to worship God. And as he was returning, the scripture says this man was reading from Isaiah chapter 53. He wasn't listening to the most popular song of the day on his radio, or he wasn't playing with his cell phone and watching Facebook, and they didn't have those things back then, of course. But what was he doing? He wasn't taking a nap. That's probably what I might have been doing. What was he doing? He was reading the scriptures. And he was told, Philip was told by an angel to go and join himself to that chariot. And he went and he found him reading the scriptures. What was he doing? He was looking for the pearl of great price. Who's he speaking about? This prophet, is he talking about himself or some other man? And Philip began there and preached to him Jesus. He had his priorities right. Cornelius is another example in Acts chapter 10. An individual who feared God, prayed to God always, gave much alms to the poor, but he was still not a saved individual because he needed to obey the gospel. Andy presented some real important points in the class this morning about God's grace. That's God's part of salvation. Our part is responding to that grace and responding and obeying the gospel of the Lord. That's what we need to be doing. That's what Cornelius was looking for. And when he received Peter and the ones who came with the apostle Peter, when Peter gets there, he finds not only Cornelius anxious to hear, but Cornelius had assembled his kinfolks and his close friends, because if the gospel would be good for him, it would be good for them as well. They had their priorities in the right place. A pearl is something that comes about. It's a living organism, and it comes about as a result of a grain of sand entering into an orchard. I remember when we lived on the river. I lived on, born and raised on Stone River for 31 years. And in the summertime, we used to put out trot lines, and some of the bait that we'd use would be mussels, and there would be, we knew where mussel beds were in the Stone River. That would be a place where dirt settled and the mussel could go down and he could bed down in that mud. And I always opened a lot of those things. I said, Barry, maybe one day I'll find a pearl. But I never did. Never found that pearl. But that's the way that one comes about. A pearl is a product of a living organism. Christians are begotten unto a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Christians are referred to as living stones, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. From Matthew chapter 22, verse 32, Jesus said, God's not the God of the dead, but the living. Jesus spoke about living water in John chapter 4, verse 10. And Paul said in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, that we as Christians are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Out of much suffering on the part of that oyster, a pearl comes about. I can only imagine what an oyster goes through. I can give you a quick illustration. Years ago, when I was farming, I was riding a tractor from one farm to another. And I may have told you this before, but a speck of rust came out of the muffler and went in one of my eyes. And I knew immediately that I couldn't get it out myself, so I immediately turned that tractor around probably and drove 3 or 4 miles back to home and said, Thaddeus, you need to get this out. She didn't have any luck either. So we go to an eye doctor in Murfreesboro, Dr. John Cunningham, great man, who developed Lou Gehrig's disease later on in life. But I went to the nurse's desk, the receptionist up there, and it'll be a while, and I was sitting there miserable. I mean, I was hurting. And when I finally got to see Dr. Cunningham, he said, Ralph, this thing is hurting you. And I said, no. I said, it's killing me. He said, if this ever happens again, don't you even stop at the reception desk. You just come back here and find me, and I'll get it out. And boy, what a relief it was when he got it out. I never experienced much more pain than that in my life. But that's the way that this pearl comes about. And you know, when we really go back and look at the scriptures, the Lord suffered greatly that we might have the church today, did he not? I did a lesson at Stewart Creek years ago on the crucifixion of Jesus, and went into great detail as to every aspect of the crucifixion. And when the lesson was over, one lady came up to me and she said, "Buddy, you sure messed up my mascara today." Well, that's what we're supposed to do. The hardest, most painful, and horrible death that one could die was by means of crucifixion. And that's the way that the Lord's church came about. Out of much suffering, an object of beauty is born. The church came from the side of Christ. You remember when the Roman soldier thrust a sword in his side and blood and water came out, the scripture says? Paul said to the Ephesian elders that he purchased the church of God with his own blood. And so it cost Christ his life. It cost God his son. And he learned obedience by the thing he suffered, the Hebrew writer said. Pearl comes from the depths of the sea, and the church comes from the depths of the world. We need to be encouraging individuals to be sincere in their search, be sincere and honest in their obedience, and once they find that church, are buying that pearl of great price. After all these things that we've talked about, we observe that this merchantman, once he found the pearl of great price, he purchased it. He wasted no time. You know, I'm the kind of a person, if I'm going to make a major purchase, I'm going to think about it a while. I'm going to go home and probably sleep on it and pray about it, and I'm going to do like Jesus said, count the cost. You know, Jesus said, what man intending to build a tower, he better sit down and first count the cost to find out if he has sufficient to finish it. Or else once he begins to build and doesn't have sufficient, people will mock and laugh and say, this man began and wasn't able to finish. Do I have the means to purchase this pearl? He didn't waste any time. And as we think about that, we observe that in the book of Acts, just one sermon converted many people. We think, you know, I have studied with people. I've studied with a lady and her brother one time over a year before I baptized them. But in the scriptures, sometimes just one sermon on the day of Pentecost. How many sermons had those people heard? One. They heard the great sermon of the Apostle Peter. Great day in history. Great sermon, great preacher, great audience, and great results. About 3,000 were baptized that day. And so just one sermon sometimes will bring about a conversion, and that's all right. A second thing that I want to observe about this pearl of great price this morning was, once this man found the pearl of great price, he didn't try to buy it at a reduced price. Are you a haggler when you go to buy something? I knew a man one time who said, I never paid retail price for anything. Well, that's all right, you know. If you have the money, you know, people know that if you have the money that you can just, you can either sell it to them and make a little bit, or you can hold it and try to get somebody to pay the full price for it. He said, I never paid retail price for anything. He was willing to pay the full price for that. And what was the full price? The full price was like Jesus told the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. If you want to have eternal life, go sell what you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. Scripture says this man did what? He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He purchased it voluntarily. No one compelled him to. And I like the sincerity of individuals. You know, if they are searching and seeking and they find the truth and they respond immediately, I think that's great. I think that's commendable on their part. He paid the supreme price. He sold what he had to. He sold all his little pearls, and he bought this pearl of great price. It cost God his son, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It cost Jesus his life. He purchased the church with his own blood. If you find the pearl of great price, it may cost you some things as well. Scripture says that you may result in losing some family ties, some family members. One of the things that the man Saul of Tarsus realized that he was going to have to give up when he was blinded on the Damascus road was the religion of his parents. Saul of Tarsus had been born a Jew. He talks about that later on in some of his writings. He was a Pharisee. He had been brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. He was highly educated, but he was made to realize that the law of Moses had been fulfilled and taken out of the way and nailed to the cross. And so therefore he could no longer, and he taught this throughout many of his letters to the different churches, you know, if you seek to be justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. So Paul realized that he was going to have to give up the religion of his parents. It's going to cause you to have to give up some sinful practices that you may be involved in. I like the scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 when it talks about Moses, chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. The Hebrew writer said, when Moses became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And so it may cost giving up sin, some sinful practices. It may cost you some possessions, as we mentioned a moment ago. This pearl of great price, though, brethren, is worth more than the whole world. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. Someone said that a religion that costs nothing is worth nothing. But you know, in conclusion this morning, this individual who was looking for this pearl of great price and who had the willingness to sacrifice his smaller pearls and purchase this pearl of great price, I want to tell you, I believe he got a bargain. I believe he got a bargain. And I think those who've been in church a long, long time would agree to that as well. Why? Because the pearl was going to bless his life. I don't know what he wanted it for, but he wanted it. If the church hasn't blessed your life, if you've been in the church a long time, then there's something badly wrong. You need to re-examine and practice self-examination once again. I believe he really got a bargain. When an individual is willing to give up the things of this world, you know, John said, love not the world, 1 John 2:15, neither the things of the world. If a man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. When an individual is willing to give these things up, it kind of goes back to what Peter raised a question to Jesus, you know, when Jesus talked about it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. Peter said, who then can be saved? And we've left all, Peter said, and followed you. What's going to be our reward? Jesus said, those, Peter, who give up houses and families and so forth and all the things, all your little pearls, you're going to receive 100-fold in this life and life in heaven, eternal in heaven when our lives are over here upon this earth. Paul in the Roman letter chapter 8 verse 18 said, I suppose that the sufferings of this world now cannot compare to the glory one day that will be revealed. In conclusion, Jesus, it's spoken of Jesus in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. We know the grace, Paul said, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Those who buy the pearl of great price and make sacrifices are going to be made rich spiritually. I believe that we need to sell what we have that's holding us back from obtaining this pearl of great price and purchase it once we find it and once we understand that we need it. You know, the wisdom of purchasing this pearl will be at death. Have you ever heard the old saying, you know, you can't take it with you when you go? You can't take that $1 million you have in your 401k. Someone else is going to get that. You can't take the mansion on the hill that Hank Williams wrote about. You can't take that with you. Someone else is going to enjoy that. You can't take that four-wheel drive extended cab or crew cab pickup truck with you. You can't take that either. And so this is one possession that we can take with us to the grave. the wisdom of buying this pearl will be seen at the day of death. Have you purchased the pearl of great price? Do you know someone who hasn't purchased the pearl of great price? Then hopefully this lesson this morning will enable you to be better able to present the pearl of great price to the lost and dying world. There are so many people, so many good, honest, sincere people, good citizens, who just have never seen the need of purchasing the pearl of great price. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, then you can purchase it today, and it won't cost you anything but stepping down that aisle and giving me your hand and God your heart.